I'm Erica Lynn, and we all know the ocean is the most demanding environment on Earth, consistently testing the reliability and durability of our equipment. When you spend as much time fishing as I do, you know that reliable gear is essential for staying on the water. This is why I went with Abyss Battery to power my trolling motor, electronics, and outboard. The guys at Abyss Battery are rattling the saltwater industry by manufacturing performance marine batteries specifically designed for sonar, outboards, trolling motors, and electronic fishing reels. They're also Bluetooth compatible, so I found checking battery statuses right on your phone while you're out on the water is a huge game changer. To learn more about why Abyss batteries are used by the pros and factory installed by premier boat builders, visit abyssbattery.com.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, but we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits. A uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alright, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about camp stoves. I guess camp stoves from the perspective of things that you're going to have in your go bag, things that you're going to be able to, you know, kind of take on the, you know, having your vehicle, having your off-grid scenario, even when you're just out backpacking, hiking, any of the good stuff. You know, out just enjoying life. And so, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of cool things out there and different ways to try. Maybe some cool recipes we'll talk about, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of great camp stoves out there. And we ended up reaching out to a few companies and there's some great ones out there. So Kevin, I know you did a lot of firsthand testing. What struck your fancy? What are you looking for in a good stove, first of all?
Well, I mean, for a camp stove, generally speaking, you know, it's nice to have a nice, like, propane stove, but you don't want to carry all that shit in your backpack, you know? So I'm looking for lightweight.
Right. So lightweight and small and concealable, right? Not necessarily hide concealable, but out of the way, you know, discreet and tucked in and not taking up your whole pack.
Right, right. So the best one that I found for that was the Überleben Stoker stove.
Okay.
Basically it comes with six pieces and they're all flat, you know. It's basically 6 inches by 6 inches by a half inch, and it all slides in like a canvas waterproof pouch. And you slide it out, set it up, and you're ready to go. It all runs on like wood though. You know what I mean? It's basically, you know, you got to collect a good amount of twigs to get, you know, keep that fire going and keep it hot. But I mean, you can just do it from stuff you find around. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about running out of propane. You don't have to worry about carrying propane. You don't have to worry about bringing any kind of fuel at all. You just set it up and get it going. And it was pretty great. I got to admit, high quality, good stuff. It was about a pound. I was going to say less than a pound, but it's 18 ounces. So
okay,
it's pretty lightweight.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. Something that you can fold up flat so you can like lay it right against your back or whatever in the pack. You know what I'm saying? Where it's not really poking you. It's not an issue. That's you know, a great way to go. And something that's just, hey, it's simple. It's straightforward. You just crack it out. Obviously, when you're on the trail, you'd be hard pressed to find an area you can't find twigs and sticks on the ground.
Right, right.
You know, when you're in the woods. Now, obviously, there's desert scenarios, or if you're stuck on a boat, but I got to say, right. You start chipping the side of the boat off if it's that bad, right?
That's right. That's right. But, it's basically, it was a rocket stove, and it worked really well. It worked fast. It was easy to get started. Everything was great. Everything was, it was exactly what I was looking for in a wood stove for taking with me when I'm hiking. The other one that I took a look at was City Bonfires. They've got a little stove. That one was different, though. That was more of an urban type of thing. You know what I mean? Because it comes with its own fuel. It's a candle. You can burn it inside. It's not doesn't produce any bad fumes or anything like that.
So this one's like basically like the frame for a pot, and then like maybe like a sterno can kind of thing.
That's basically how it works. And the cans, this one was really inexpensive too. It was good quality, and it was I think you could get replacement candles for like $25 or something. They weren't very much, and they last about 4 hours. You know, of continuous cooking, or you know, obviously it doesn't take you more than an hour to cook something, but you can use it multiple times.
Now, what's cool though is like, so you have the apartment in New York City because you're bougie, and mm-hmm. when you're fighting off earthquakes or whatever, maybe the power goes out, you could just go on like that back patio, because all of us who can afford an apartment in New York City have a patio outside.
Obviously. No, you can do that right inside on your kitchen, inside. On your kitchen table. Right, yeah, right, you don't even have to have space, you know?
Obviously, the Uber leaving, you're not going to just like have sticks lying around unless you're like in Central Park, obviously, because those are the only trees that would be like. But
right.
You'd have, you could like break up the furniture a little bit and feed it in slowly. You know, you take out pocket knife. Are you not allowed to have pocket knives in New York?
No, you can have a pocket knife. It has to be less than 4 inches long blade. So it's not great. It's not. Yeah, it's New York City. That's how it goes.
All right. But I'm just saying, these are kind of cool. And actually, the City Bonfire, is that the?
Yeah, City Bonfire. And that one was.
City Bonfire one, that you could just crack out and put on the table and for a power down for short time situation, that's ideal and gets you going and easy. And
right. And they had, it came with, and it came with little skewers, you know, so you can
oh, nice.
Cook meat or marshmallows or whatever it is you want to cook on it.
Little bit of rat or squirrel, whatever you guys have in the city.
Whatever you have, man. Yeah. My cat brought me a big rat yesterday. So that was pleasant. But yeah, that's something you can cook inside. You don't have to have fuel. You don't have to have anything. You have the whole setup right there, and you're eating hot food when everybody else is in the dark. And, it's pretty good. Pretty good for indoor use in urban areas. And, you can use it anywhere. You don't have to be in an apartment. You can do it on your back porch if you want to.
You don't have to be a city person. You can.
No. But those were my two favorites.
Okay.
I like to have, when I go camping, when I'm not hiking, when I'm going with the family, I'd like to have, something that's easy to start up, propane, little propane canisters. So the Camp Chef, stove is, a two burner stove, propane, and that's a good quality stove. And also I use the Coleman stove. That's primarily what I bring with me if I'm going on a trip right. with the family.
Those are a little bit more hiking it in and whatever. That's kind of,
they're heavyweight, and you got to carry the propane too. Yeah.
Right.
So it's not something I would take in a backpack if I was hiking, but, if I'm parking, 100 yards from where I'm camping or something, that's easy enough.
Right. So if you were going to be a speaker at Prepper Camp in September in North Carolina, mm-hmm. that's something you might bring to your campsite is something.
Exactly. Gotcha. Like that to make your coffee in the morning.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is something, though, when you wake up and it's cold out, it's nice to be able to just turn the Coleman stove on and get the water hot and make some coffee and get some eggs and, you're ready to go. You don't have to do any work. You don't have to get the fire going. You don't have to have anything going. You can just set it up and you're drinking hot coffee while you try and poke the fire back to life.
Exactly. I like it. Now, there are a couple of beefier options. And I've seen kind of like, I don't know, I would almost say sheet metal, crappy, whatever. But there's a lot of the rocket stoves you can buy. But if they're collapsible, usually they're pretty poorly made. And if they're not collapsible, they usually weigh a ton. You know, they're big, substantial. But there are some cool things that, you know, I've seen out there for the rocket stoves. It is a balance of quality and weight, you know, where you're kind of looking for the trade-off. But something for cooking in the backyard, there's a lot of cool things. Mm-hmm. And there are more aggressive, like people will take stones, cinder blocks, that kind of thing, and work out their own kind of version of a rocket stove and setting up stuff pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There's other ways to go. Believe it or not, like people take like the flat, like bluestone or like that, and we'll cook right on it. Just throw mm-hmm. it in the, you know, right on the coals kind of thing. And, you know, you can lay your food on right there and have ways to go. And that provides a lot of great options for, you know, when you're out on the trail, you don't have to carry something. I mean, honestly, aluminum foil, right? Wrapping your food and throwing it in a couple of sheets of foil and throwing it in the coals. It really depends, you know, how on the go you are, you know? I mean, throwing some foil, what I've seen is people like take like a thin board or something and just wrap it with foil to kind of keep those sheets nice. And I mean, maybe mm-hmm. you could fold it and keep it nice on your own. I'm not really sure. I haven't had any luck with that, with folding foil and keeping
and it. And then opening it back up. And yeah.
Maybe if you slid it in the pouch where I have one of those Camelback water bladders.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you laid it in the flat of there, you know, some squares folded.
Yeah, my experience is that the best bet is if you're going out and planning on doing that stuff, you're wrapping the stuff up first, you know, mm-hmm. wrapping a potato up in foil and putting it in your bag.
So the meals are just ready to go.
Right. You just, you know, but, you know, obviously anybody that's played with a campfire knows that you can't just start a campfire up and have nice hot coals. You have to get it going. You have to, you know, let it burn down a little bit and get the real heat going in there.
I gotta say, that's where these backpack stoves kind of win out mm-hmm. is you can, you know, you're cooking in like 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? If you're adding twigs or whatever, or mm-hmm. if you have your own fuel canister right there, you're ready to go. You know, that's mm-hmm. not an issue. Whereas when, like you said, you're cooking on the coals, it's a commitment.
Right.
You're going to have a lot more smoke involved, kind of giving away your position if that's a mm-hmm. concern. Maybe you want to be found if you're stuck in the woods. Can't be sure on that one. Or maybe you're in the woods because you don't want to be found. You know, it mm-hmm. could go either way. But yeah, I mean, that's where those little ones win out. But also cooking, you can actually throw food right on the coals. You know, you grab that squirrel. You can now. I got a picture, a nice steaks cooking on the coals.
But, yeah, that's not a squirrel, but whatever.
If you had a little squirrel, you cut into slabs. You could, throw that right on there. Or in my case, maybe it's rabbits, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows?
Yeah,
Go ahead. Yeah,
my experience with that sort of stuff is your best bet is to bring some sort of a pot, some sort of a pan. You know, they always take up a little bit of space, but you know, you can. You know, if you've got a lid on it, whatever, you can stuff your dry socks in there, you know, whatever. You can fill that space up. They do take up a little bit more space.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one problem is with a lot of the pots and pans that you get for camping, they're real lightweight, they're real thin metal.
Yeah.
And so you have to keep that fire going. It doesn't hold the heat like a bigger pan, like a cast iron might hold the heat a little bit.
But backpacking with cast iron is a little bit of a chore.
It's not the smartest move.
You know, how cool are you when you got the big Dutch oven? But
mm-hmm.
there's a big but there.
But it also weighs 20 pounds.
Yeah. You know, you're cool. But actually, I was always really happy with the Stanley cook sets. Mm-hmm. They got a couple of different sizes and varieties of ways you could go on that. And they're pretty awesome for the backpacking and like that.
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent of cooking on the fire. You know, I like to I like the taste of it. You know, I like charcoal better than propane. But you know, propane is a lot easier to cook with. You know, a propane grill versus a charcoal grill. You know, two completely different animals. But you know, personally, the flavor of charcoal, the flavor of you know, campfire is a lot better. You know, a lot better taste for me. You know, one of the best things to cook, in my opinion, on the coals, when you're cooking right on the fire with the aluminum foil or whatever, is you want something that's good for slow cooking, you know, something like, my favorite is ribs. I like ribs. You know, you get the ribs, you smear it all over with barbecue sauce and wrap it up in the foil. And then you throw it on the coals, 45 minutes, an hour. Yeah. And they come out and they just, you know, pull right apart. I like slow cooking, you know, a lot of those meats, but you know, the truth is, you know, sometimes I like a nice sear and get it nice and crispy on and off, you know, right. So it's still red in the middle
and, you know, a little flavor charcoal on the outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always, I mean, I'm a big, potato and onion fan and that kind of thing, you know, you cook that down. One of the guys mentioned the stove light. They make a decent one. You know, I was checking those out. They're pretty cool. The best in my mind is how cool are you when you can have the ingredients that you have right there available to you, you know, where you're not even backpacking it in, you mm-hmm. know, stuff you're grabbing with the snare or whatever, you know, the rabbits, the squirrels, the things that you're getting on the go. Maybe you shoot something, you know, who knows, you're cooking it up. Having, you know, the leeks or the onions that you're finding on the trail kind of thing, or, you know, that you have planted in the backyard, having that stuff available to you. I don't know. I always get like an extra level of satisfaction when it's like, ooh, everything came from my property. You know, everything is right here. And, you know, whatever, I brought the rabbits in and started that, but you get the idea, you know, it's just like, ooh, yeah, I have chickens and eggs. Well, they weren't naturally here when I got here. I did get some chickens, but it's something that I have, you know, and that we've raised and done. Now the latest addition is turkeys. I have torturing me out there, but you know, having that little meat that you smoke and you do yourself and setting up your own stuff, adding that to your eggs that you're cooking on your little camp stove, using the onions and the, you know, the garlic and the things that you've, you know, grown out there and planned for. I don't know. I guess just the satisfaction of kind of self-reliance and building up and knowing that you have a sustainable thing that you're going to be able to keep going no matter what bad decisions our crazy government makes, you know, we're still going to have, you know, stuff going on.
Yeah. I think the best camping trip I went on was about a 7-mile hike and, up in the mountains, and was a big lake there, and, just pulling trout out of that lake, like nothing. And, you know, it was easy to cook. I added, you know, a couple of pieces of bacon. So I just threw that in the pan, got the, you know, the pan nice and greasy, and threw that fish right in there, and it was, you know, was unseasoned. I didn't have any seasoning with me, but it was probably the best fish I've ever eaten in my life, you know.
I like it.
right over the fire and you know, fresh right out of the river. It was
well, if you leave the skin on, you kind of get that salty stuff going on a lot of it, you know, with it, where you get that kind of seasoned, you know, plus you get it from cooking. But that is a big thing, is, you know, bringing a little seasoning with you isn't a bad way to go.
Yeah, a little bit of salt and pepper goes a long way.
Garlic, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Learning to recognize what nature has out there is awesome. But just the same, bringing a little baggie with stuff is pretty cool too. It's funny that it never occurred to me, but my wife decided to make garlic powder this year out of our garlic. You know, she hydrated it And oh my God, it is so different in the potency of the little like garlic powder you get from the store versus, you know, right, using our homemade stuff. And it's like, oh my God, it's like mm-hmm. totally different. Plus when you see the disturbing things of the, you know, the way it's made in other countries, you know, when you have the made in China, whatever, and what's in there, and you're like,
oh, right.
Yeah. Homemade natural sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Although, yeah.
Give up a decent amount of garlic to get, you know, your jar full of garlic.
Right. Powder. Right. It takes a lot of garlic to make garlic powder, right? You got to take, once you take all that moisture out of there, it shrinks down quite a bit.
And I got to say, it was effort to get the moisture out of there. Like it was still kind of clumpy and, you know, yeah. like where you're just keep fighting it. Like you're in there with a fork, you know, breaking it up again every once in a while because the moisture. Right. So it's tough. I mean, I'm sure had we, you know, ran it through the dehydrator or whatever a few more times, we could have had better success, but mm-hmm. there is something for bringing good seasoning. And I guess I just brought that up one, cause it's awesome. And I'm amazed that she made awesome garlic powder, but right. two that, you know, bringing spices and the little extra niceties can go a long way, you know, right. having salt set aside both for curing and whatever in your preps and, you know, and for seasoning will go a yeah. long way. And those of you that love sugar, maybe that's a way to go for you. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know, you know, when I go on hikes, I'll usually, you know, I'll usually make something, lamb chops or, you know, or, duck or something like that. And I'll put it in a Ziploc bag, put it in with a marinade and put it in the freezer the night before I leave. And that way it's nice and frozen for the whole hike up. And then, you know, by the time you're ready to cook, it's just about thawed out and it's been marinating. So it's ready to go. It's nice to be out on a hike in the middle of nowhere and have like, you know, a nice deluxe gourmet meal, you know, after all that walking. But, you know, to me, that's one of the great things about hiking and camping, backpacking is, you know, planning ahead and having a good time, you know,
right.
it's, well, bringing a bottle of whiskey is a lot less weight than bringing a 12 pack of beer, but,
yeah, that's good planning, Kevin. You're smart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how to do it. And those bottles are heavy though. You got to dump that into a big flask and then you're ready to go, man.
Flask.
Then you're ready to go. You're hammered and you're eating a good meal and, you're going to have a miserable day the next day being hungover, trying to walk back down the mountain.
Do we need the, Survival and Basic Badass podcast flask? Is that,
I think that's a good idea. I think we need to get something like that together. Yeah, I like that idea.
That sounds right. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things is the more you're out camping and hiking and doing these things, the more you realize what works and what stuff you're carrying in that's just useless. You know, all the fancy, you know, little tricks and whatever. You know, learning how to filter water and stuff over the life straw or whatever is kind of a good thing. But again, mm-hmm. you never know what situations are going to present themselves. You know, maybe boiling water is not in the cards, you know, mm-hmm. having one of those pumps where you can just pump right out of the creek and fill in all your water containers. That's yeah. pretty awesome. You yeah. know, that might be the right trick because carrying in water is never fun. But again, no. you need to know.
And it can be hard to find clean water. You know what I mean? You might run across a spring, but I mean, that's, those are few and far between, yeah, you know,
all signs point to unlikely, you know,
right.
as yeah. long as, you know, if you know the trip or you know that, oh, this park has little spigots every mile or whatever, where you can go in and just turn it on and good to go.
Right.
Well, that's cool. But you know, maybe that's not the case. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know I've been to a lot of places where accessing clean water is not easy, you know, and having to boil water is takes a lot of energy. You know, a lot of fuel. You have to get the, you know, get the fire going just right and get that, you know, get the right heat out to just to get that water boiling. It can be, you know, a project in itself. So, you know, always bring plenty of clean water and have, you know, have a filter of some sort with you. But,
yeah,
you know, that's my opinion. As far as the stoves go, the Uber Leben was my favorite for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to put some links in the, you know, in the show notes in the bottom of the thing so you guys have it and can check those out and, you know, see what's available to you because they're both awesome. I mean, it really just depends on your application. You know, what are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. If you're hanging out with your buddies in that, you know, in the backyard and you want a little, you know, something, but you're not in the neighborhood where you can have the big roaring campfire, you know. It's one thing if you can build the 5 foot tall bonfire and whatever,
right?
But still, even that, you don't want to, you know, you're not cooking marshmallows on the one that you can't get within 10 feet of, you know.
On my honeymoon, we were out camping and I had to set up a tripod and I had a few people come out. You know, hike out and meet up with us. And I had a few big steaks that I cooked on there. And that was really something. That was good. You know, it was like the big broiling steaks, you know, the big 3 pound steaks.
How did you work the tripod? Was it like a grate that's hanging off it or?
Right. So it's a grate that hangs from the center of the tripod over the fire and you can adjust it, you know, I mean, up or down. And, you know, obviously it can be a lot trickier to cook meat over a fire than on the stove. You know what I mean? You've got to work the fire. So it's just right. You know, you don't want to be burning all your food and you want to have some nice hot coals that you can put the food right over top of without burning everything to shit. And it can be tricky to do it, to get it
a
right.
Delicate balance, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so, with those tripods, when you work it that way, it's a lot of up and down. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want to have a bunch of, little twigs in there burning real hot and burning all your meat. And you don't want to have a bunch of old logs that are just kind of like, you know, wet and steaming and, you know.
Slow and low, yeah.
Slow and low. So you have to have a good balance. And it can take a while to get a fire where it's big enough and hot enough that it has coals that it can burn down and still maintain the heat for a while.
And that's the thing. It's all about finding the right application for what you're into and, you know, what you're after. But again, that's the, you know, go out and do it. The more you're out there hiking, camping and experiencing stuff. And I got to say, when you go out on like these trails and different things, you meet people and you see the other tricks they're doing. There is a ton of things that you can do with spending no money or little money, you know, even a tripod, you can work out things where you're hanging stuff for cheap, you know, or nothing, you know, even just a grate, like heck, you could just take an old oven rack and make your own, you know, tripod.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, there's different ways to go and maybe you cut it down a little smaller with the grinder in the backyard. You know, you don't need to spend $1 million to, you know, find the right setup. You need to just kind of use your head, kind of think, you know, a little bit of what, you know, what could work for you. You know, you could easily take an old oven rack and cut it to where it's going to fit just inside your backpack and be, right. You know, one more thing. Now, obviously you don't want that metal grate laying right against your back when you're hiking in,
right.
But you might be able to cushion it and spread it out a little bit and set up the right thing. You know, These are the things you learn over time by doing, though, is, oh, you know, that was, you know, grating on my back the whole night like a cheese grater. And I didn't, you know, like that hiking in. But, oh, when I wrapped a sweatshirt around it or my towel that I brought, you know, then it wasn't so bad or, you know, whatever. You find the tricks that work.
Yeah. What I was, in my experience, too, is when you go out, you're never going someplace where nobody else has ever been. And people are always leaving all kinds of trash and shit behind. And you can always find something, you know. There's been probably half a dozen campsites that I've gone to where the fireplace, you know, was already built and set up. And There's just an old fucking grate sitting there someplace, you know what right. I mean? Somebody had brought it in, didn't feel like hiking it back out.
And that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, that's and how cool are you when you're leaving for the next guy? You know, I know they're like, oh, Nature and leave it as you found it and whatever. Don't leave
whatever.
Garbage. Don't be a jerk, you know, but just the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's something useful for the guy. You know, maybe they appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can always find something. I mean, I always bring in a trash bag and always carry out a lot more stuff than I bring in. But
well, Kevin, you're just a good citizen. I mean, we're all proud of you when you know.
But, you know, there's sometimes when I'll go out someplace and I'll think like, this place looks too clean. You know what I mean? It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. You feel like somebody needs to bring a bag of empty beer cans and dump it out so that you
know. That you
it looks a little bit more homey. You know, a little bit more.
Do you
lived
bring in.
In
empty beer cans and dump them out, or do you just?
they're empty when I bring them.
that doesn't sound like you, but you know, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're the type of person that likes to go out in the woods. But if you're listening and you don't go camping, you can't remember the last time you went camping with your kids, the last time you went by yourself or with some friends, get your shit together, man. You need to get out in the woods. You need to, you know, listen to some Johnny Cash and get your life together.
Exactly. Johnny Cash, I don't know how you wouldn't change your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of the things. It would be awesome if you put in the comments, like maybe your best camping trip or where to go that, you know, you've done. I know the national parks are just awesome and, mm-hmm. you know, huge. You know, I heard it's really great to go out and pet the buffalo. I heard mm-hmm. that's a big thing that people.
You're supposed to. And have you ever see a grizzly bear?
Yeah, they're good.
They love to have their chin scratched.
Yeah.
So check that out. If you're ever in a national park and you come across an elk, you should go and try and feed it some grass and see what happens.
Yeah, that actually petting the buffalo might be a bad idea. That would be one of those. I don't know if you guys been listening to the show for a long time, but one of those Kevin's gonna get you killed scenarios.
Yeah.
Those times that Kevin killed people, that would be mm-hmm. with the grizzly and the buffalo belly rubs.
Yeah.
But I think that's maybe the new t-shirt for the Survival and Basic Badass podcast. Give a grizzly a belly rub.
Yeah. They love that shit.
Yeah. Cause that only sounds right.
And they love when you bring extra food for their babies and try and feed the babies
baby
too.
Food.
They love
babies.
That. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, if you're out there, I mean, honestly though, the woods are all around you, man. You know,
turns out
it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Get out there. Get some fire. And there's something like innately inside humans that just makes you happier being around a fire. You know,
it's the call of the wild. No, it is relaxing. Like. I don't know. Sometimes it does, like the next day you're like, ooh, I feel dried out, you know, sitting next to that smoke and whatever.
A little smoky.
But if you build a good fire and, you know, set something up awesome out there, it really is pretty great and gives you some kind of peace of mind and relaxing. I don't know. I've had nothing but great experiences being outdoors and camping and getting close to nature and enjoying it all. And, you know, like Kevin said, it doesn't hurt if you bring a bottle of whiskey and make everything a little bit better.
Yeah, that's right, man. That's right.
It could be wrong. But anyway, so I'll see if I can't work out some kind of shirt about petting the grizzly and see if we can't hook you guys up. You can see some of the other great ideas that we've had at preppingbadass.com check out gear on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some cool stuff there. If you guys want to support the show and, you know, help us out, one, always don't forget to like and subscribe, leave reviews. That stuff helps so much. But
I think, you know, we'll have to do that. We'll have to work on that petting the grizzly bear flask for hiking. So maybe we can get some hiking flasks going. I'll see if I can find some company that'll do that for us.
That only sounds right. But also patreon.com/preppingbadass. You guys have questions, concerns, things you want to talk about. Let us know. And I have actually some good ideas. I think we need to do another gun episode is what.
Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Questions, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. And we will talk to you guys next week. Mm-hmm.
The delicious ice-cold taste of Dr. Pepper has a lasting effect on people. Lindsay from Sacramento said,
pro tip, 40 degrees is the perfect temperature for an ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Why is 40 degrees the perfect temperature for Dr. Pepper? We brought in Sue from Duluth, Minnesota to tell us.
Oh, yeah, I know a thing or two about cold. Oh, that right there is the perfect kind of ice-cold for Dr. Pepper. I'd share that with my friend Nancy. She likes Dr. Pepper, too, you know. My cold is...
All right, that'll be all, Sue. Having a perfect temperature for your Dr. Pepper? It's a Pepper thing. Inspired by real fan posts.